Thank you, Greg. Good morning, everyone. Am I on there? There we go. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. When I go to churches looking like this, you know, the obvious question is, what's happened to your eye? And I say, no, I've had a device fitted into my eye that allows me to see what sins people have committed. So if you come to church, be sure to confess your sins before you come. And if you do that, then I won't know. But if you come with your sins unconfessed, then I will know. And when I stand there, I will see, and I'll be able to preach God's word into your sins. And some of you respond like you are, saying it's absolute codswallop, he's talking nonsense, and I am. But others are not so sure, and they're a little nervous, like maybe some of you are not so sure about it. And they're little nervous giggles, you know, in the congregation. And so I want to assure you, I am talking nonsense. When I walk down that aisle a little later, you don't have to avoid me and come down this aisle in case I see something I shouldn't. I did say, though, that anything could happen this morning because this is the first time preaching with one eye like this. I'm still a work in progress, so I might preach only half the message, and so we could be out here in double quick time today, or else, you know, it may take me double time to preach the whole message. Who knows? But I'm, by God's grace, won't preach half the truth. And that's my commitment to you this morning. So to help me out, actually, with the reading of Scripture, and we do this as we go around anyway, it's always a delight to ask my wife. I say, I've not come empty-handed. I've brought my wife. And she's going to read God's word to us today.
Good morning, everyone. It's always a privilege to read God's word. And every time I do it, I'm conscious that this is God's word that we're reading together. So I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and from verse 11 to the end of the chapter from the English Standard Version. For who knows the person's thoughts except the spirit of that person who is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
May God add his blessing to that reading of his word. If I were to give a title to the message today, it would be, how can we understand the Bible? How can we understand the things of God? How can we understand spiritual things? How can we understand the mysteries of Christ, which of course are found in God's word? And so, how can we understand the word of God? I wonder if you are someone, when you read your Bible, you understand exactly what you are reading. Maybe not exactly, but when you read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, you understand that this is about God's providential care for his sheep, his children, just as a shepherd cares for his sheep. And you read Psalm 23 and you get it, you know what it's about. Or you read maybe the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you read that verse and you understand that we are naturally under the wrath of God, we're under the judgment of God, and God in his grace has given us salvation through Jesus Christ. So you would say that when you read God's word, you kind of understand it. There'll be parts you don't understand, but mostly you're with it and you understand what you're reading. Maybe you are someone who's not like that. Maybe you are someone, when you read the Word of God, it's a struggle for you to read your Bible. You come here on Sundays and you listen to Greg, and it seems so obvious when he explains it, and he is a good Bible teacher, and we praise God for that. And it's simple and clear when Greg presents it, but it's not like that when you read your own Bible. You go home and you read your own Bible, and maybe you've asked yourself, why is it that when Greg does it, it seems so simple. But when you do it, it's not like that. It's not clear to you. Friends, that's what this passage is really all about. For some time, Greg has told you, Dorothy and I lived in China. I had the privilege of pastoring a church in China. And China has some very interesting ways. There's a term we used in China, TIC, this is China, because it covers a multitude of sins. One of the things they do in China is they block all the internet applications from the West. So, for example, if you use Gmail, then you won't be able to access your email in China because it is blocked. They've also blocked Facebook, they've also blocked Instagram, WhatsApp, and all those kinds of things. But of course, to every problem, there is a solution. And so if you have a VPN fitted to your device, then you can access your email, and you can even put what you had for supper on Facebook if you want to do that. Everything changes if you have a VPN. And that's what this passage is all about. Text is all about having a spiritual VPN, if you like. The first thing that I want to point out to you from God's word is that there are people who cannot understand the message of the Bible. They cannot understand the message of the Bible. Even if they want to understand it, they cannot understand it. Some of the most brilliant minds on the planet, they cannot understand the Bible. Richard Dawkins is a brilliant, well-known scientist in the world, but he cannot understand the message of the Bible. Now, the reason why they cannot understand the message of the Bible is not because they are not bright enough or not because they're not educated enough, but because they do not have the Holy Spirit living in them. They are not converted. They have not been taken out of darkness by God and brought into the light. They have not been made alive spiritually by God. They have not been born from above, which is what the term being born again really means. It means to be born from above. And so the term used in verse 14 of a person like that is that they are a natural person. And the natural person, says verse 14, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. They are foolishness to him. And he does not understand them. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And that's what verse 14 is saying, describing a natural person, someone who does not know Christ. Verse 11 says that it's not possible to know what is in the mind of someone else. Who knows a person's thoughts except that person? And verse 16 says, and so therefore it is also not possible to know what is in God's mind. And Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13, who has understood the mind of the Lord? No one can. No one can see what is in God's mind. We cannot even understand and see what is in each other's minds. How in the world will we see what is in God's mind? And so the result is that a natural person, someone without Jesus Christ, is locked into the wisdom of this world. They are locked into the philosophy of this world. They're locked into it. They cannot see outside of it. They are locked into the worldview of this world. And so life for them is a closed system. Richard Dawkins preaches that. He says the universe is a closed system. He's wrong, of course, but that's because he doesn't believe in God, and so in his mind, miracles are not possible. But I'm using that simply to illustrate for a natural person, life is a closed system. Now, verse 13 talks about wisdom. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom. The Greek word translated wisdom is the word sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S, if you like. It's the word from which we get the English word philosophy, which means love of wisdom. But wisdom that leaves God out of the picture is not wisdom, it is foolishness. And so verse 14 says that the natural person, someone without Christ, someone not born again, does not accept the things that come from God, does not understand them. In fact, finds them foolish. That's why Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The verse it's saying, it's foolish to have a worldview that excludes God when there is a God. And God does exist, so it's foolish to say there isn't a God. And that's what Psalm 14, verse 1 is saying. And so our text in Corinthians is saying that there is such a thing as God's wisdom and man's wisdom, and they are not the same thing. There is God's philosophy and man's philosophy, and they are not the same. There's God's worldview and man's worldview, and they are also not the same. And so someone who doesn't have the spiritual VPN, someone who does not have the Holy Spirit, they cannot understand God's wisdom. They also don't have what verse 16 calls the mind of the Lord, the mind of Christ. They do not have that. I want to give you just a very simple illustration to show you what we're talking about. There are many people out there in the world who think that what we are doing here right now, at this very moment, is not only outdated, but in fact offensive. To have somebody standing at the front lecturing, there's no discussion, there's no dialogue, the audience is not being asked what they think. There are many places in the world where that is not only seen as inappropriate and disrespectful, but downright offensive and unacceptable. But friends, the reason why we believe in preaching is because God believes in preaching. God is the one who ordained preaching. It's his chosen way to bring truth from heaven to people. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, chapter 10, verse 14, how will they hear? How will they hear truth, is what he's saying, unless someone preaches to them. Preaching is God's chosen way. He writes to Timothy, Timothy, preach the word. Chapter 4, verse 2 of 2 Timothy, preach the word. The Greek says, keruxon ton logon. And that word keruxon does not mean organize a discussion and debate it. It means announce it, proclaim it, shout it. And Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, that's the role of a messenger from God. Not to discuss it, there comes a time to do that. And not to debate it, but to proclaim it. So the Bible says that preaching is God's chosen way to convict and convert and to create the church and to conform us who are believers to the image of Christ. Listen to Paul in the previous chapter, chapter 1, verse 21. of 1 Corinthians. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, that's God, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. So that's why it's sad that there's a preacher today, he's a well-known online preacher. I'm not going to name and shame him. You can Google the name and find it out if you like. But he says, he no longer says when he preaches these days, the Bible says, because the Bible is simply a collection of human ideas of what people think about God. And of course, the Apostle Paul disagreed. And he told Timothy, no, Timothy, this is the wisdom of God. This is God's worldview. Verse 12 says, it is not human wisdom. Not human wisdom. It's given by the Spirit of God, so only the Spirit of God can help you to understand it. And so here's the point. Someone who doesn't have the VPN, someone who doesn't have the Spirit of God, is still in spiritual darkness. And they don't have any spiritual light, not even a flicker. They're spiritually dead. There is no spiritual life in them. They may even feel uncomfortable in a place like this because they feel exposed. And Paul is saying people like that cannot understand the message from God because it is a message from God. And therefore they cannot understand it. My dear friends, before we move on from that point this morning, I just want to ask you whether you are in spiritual darkness or in spiritual light. It's a very serious question. Are you in spiritual light or are you in spiritual darkness? And some of you are going to go, I'm in spiritual light. And praise God if that is so. And I call upon you to live like a child of the light to the glory of God. But some of you may say, hey, I'm not sure where I am. Or maybe you say, no, I'm in the darkness. And the Holy Spirit shows you that this morning. And I want to call you into the light this morning. And if you will turn from your sin and turn away from the direction you've been following and believe that what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection was for you, then God will take you also from darkness to light. And maybe you want to talk about that a little later, and I'm sure there will be an opportunity to do that. Greg will be here. Others will be here. I'll be here as well if you'd like to explore that. Some of you may be studying philosophy. And I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that all philosophy is evil. Some of it is, but not all of it is. But I do want you to be careful to screen man's philosophy through God's philosophy. Amen? We need to do that. So that's the first thing, that there are some people who cannot understand the message of the Bible. Now, secondly, there are people who can understand the message of the Bible. Maybe not as clearly as the preacher explains it, but nonetheless, when they read it, they get it, and more importantly, they submit to it. Now, I want to show you on the screen just two very simple examples of what we're talking about, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. The Old Testament, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And I have no doubt that when you read that verse, Genesis 2, verse 24, that you understand and you see exactly what that verse is saying. That it was God who initiated marriage, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that there are three elements. There's a social element, there's an emotional element, and there's a sexual element, and God glues them together. And you read that verse, and you may not see everything I have said this morning, but you kind of get it. You understand what that verse means. You are someone who can understand the Bible. And then there's Hebrews 10 and verse 25, verses 24 and verse 25. And as you read those verses, you understand what it's saying. And verse 25 is saying that it's not God's will that we should skip attending church unless we are providentially hindered in some way. And by that I mean we are sick, like here it is, or we are on holiday, or we're working, or whatever the story is, we could not get there. We've been providentially hindered, and we could not get there. And it's God's will that we gather with his church. That's his will, unless we are providentially hindered in some way. If we go a little deeper into the text, then we discover that the verb, do not neglect, is in the imperative mood, which means it is a command from God. This is not a suggestion from the writer to the Hebrews. This is a command from Almighty God, which means that we are sinning against God if we do not gather for worship when we could. That's quite a serious thing. In these days, it's a serious thing to be aware of, that we are sinning against God if we do not gather for worship unless we are providentially hindered. That's what Hebrews 10 and verse 25 is saying. And so verse 15 is saying in our text that Christians can work these things out. They get it. They work it out. Unbelievers cannot work them out. A non-Christian looks at a Christian, they look at a bunch of Christians, and they cannot understand what we're doing here. It's a Sunday morning. We've had 2 days of wind, extreme wind, and here we are in a building in church on the most beautiful morning of the week. What are we doing, people? An unsaved person looks at that and says, I don't understand it. I don't get it. They cannot work us out. That's what their text is saying. So what Paul is saying, the point he's making, is that the reason why we understand the word of God and the reason why we submit to it is not because we are brighter or because we are more educated or because we learned the Greek. No, it's because we have the VPN. It's the only reason. The only reason is the grace of God has been given to us. Right up front in the letter, that's what Paul had said. Chapter 1 and verse 4. I thank God for the grace that was given you in Christ Jesus. I want to say to you this morning that if you're a Christian, that the only reason why you are a Christian is because God unilaterally and sovereignly rescued you. It's the only reason why you and I are Christians. God has been gracious to us. And he has unilaterally and sovereignly rescued us. We were dead in our sins and he made us alive. We were in darkness and he shone his light upon us. We were under the wrath of God and he gave us peace with God. The grace of God has descended upon us. And God the Holy Spirit has come into our lives. It's called the baptism into the Holy Spirit. There'll be more, I'm sure, spoken about that in chapter 12 and verse 13. And it happens at conversion. John the Baptist said, Jesus is the one who baptizes people into the Holy Spirit. He takes this sinner to whom he's also given the gifts of repentance and faith, and he submerges them into the Holy Spirit, and they become members of the body of Christ. So it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle of grace. And so the whole world then can be divided into these two groups. Those who have salvation, those who have Christ, those who have the Holy Spirit, those who have the VPN, those who have light and life. And so they can understand spiritual truth because of it. And then there are those who do not have Christ. They do not have salvation. They do not have the Holy Spirit. They do not have the VPN. So they cannot understand spiritual truth. The sense of the Greek in verse 14 is that even if they want to understand it, they cannot. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. And he is not able to understand them. And the sense of the Greek is, and even if he wants to understand them, he cannot. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned and he is not able, because he doesn't have the VPN, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit, he is not able then to understand spiritual things. The whole world can be divided into these two groups. In verse 12 he's saying, only those who have the Holy Spirit can understand the Bible. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is come from God so that we might understand the things freely given by God. So having understood our text then, and Paul is talking about how can we understand spiritual things, and telling us there are those who cannot and that there are those who can. The only difference between the two is that those who can have something God has given them. They have the Holy Spirit. They have salvation. And that's why they can understand truth. I want to apply that truth from the rest of the text. And the application is this, that there is work for you to do if you want to understand the Bible. Verse 13 says that God has revealed himself in words. We impart this in words taught by the Spirit. Dear friends, God did not reveal himself by sending a DVD. God did not reveal himself in a TV program or by sending a movie or a song or a play or a poem or a band. No, God revealed himself in a book. And the book consists of words. There's no pictures. It's words. And the words have been arranged in a particular way. We call it grammar. And there are sentences and there are prepositions, and there are verbs and moods and tenses and nouns and quotes and questions and different genres, different kinds, different types of writing. And so if we want to understand the message of the Bible, the first thing is we have to read the Bible. We have to read it. Secondly, we have to take note of what is there. When there is a preposition, when there is a therefore, then we have to ask, why is that therefore there? What is it therefore? What is it therefore? What does it mean? You know, why is it there? What does it mean? The question is not what does it mean to me. Sometimes I've been in Bible study groups where the leader said, so what does this mean to you? That's the wrong question. It's not about what does it mean to you and what does it mean to me and what does it mean to you. It's what does it mean? There's only one meaning. Every text has one meaning. We have to ask, what does that mean? What is God saying, in other words? We do all the study. We understand what is God saying. And then we ask, now how does that apply to me? What has this got to do with me? And this is exactly why Paul addressed this issue in this letter at this point in the letter. Because they were a messy church. I don't know where you got that title, but I love it. They were a messy church. But you know what? They were also a miraculous church because Christ had birthed them. Not only were they a messy church, they were a polluted church. But you know what? They had enormous potential because not only had Christ birthed them, Christ was building them. They were a rogue church, but they could become reformed. There's only one way a rogue church can become a reformed church, and that is by the Spirit through the Word. Listen to what Martin Luther said, speaking about the Reformation. I think this is my favorite quote of his from the Reformation. I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's Word. Otherwise, I did nothing. I did nothing. The Word did everything. Wonderful words from Luther. Spurgeon said, the word of God is like a lion in a cage. Just let the lion out of the cage. Then I love this quote by Jim Packer, J.I. Packer. He said, if I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop folk from digging into the Bible. I want to share some personal journey with you as we get to the end. I'd been out of school for just a couple of years when I went to see my pastor one day. I said to him, you know, I love what you're giving us on Sundays. And we had two services with two different sermons in those days. And I would go to both services. And I said to him, you know, I love what you're giving us. But when I read my Bible, I don't seem to get in my Bible what you seem to get in your Bible. He said to me, Neville, he said to me something very wise. He said, I think it's time for you to do your own digging. He turned around and he took two books off his shelf. One of them was a Greek-English interlinear New Testament. The other one was an analytical concordance. And I have those two books. He said, I want you to go and buy them. And I did. Here they are. The one cost R9.75. This was in 1975. R9.75. You could fill your petrol tank twice with R9.75. The other one cost R19.30. I think you pay a little more than that now. And he said, I want to show you how these two works work. The only Greek I knew in those days was the guy who ran the corner cafe. But he showed me how to use these tools. And I want to tell you, as a 20-year-old, I was on my way. And I was able to do my own digging. If you're interested in pursuing or having a look at these, I'll be here afterwards, and we can have a look at them. So as I close, four practical things, and then I'm through. Friends, whatever the issue, God has a response to it. God has wisdom relating to that thing, and it's in his word. Whatever the issue is, God has an answer to that in his holy word. Second thing I want to say today is this. I want to urge you. I want to encourage you. I want to urge you to become a student of the word of God and to do your own digging. Thirdly, I want to say that if you're a Christian and you really want to benefit from God's wisdom, then you need to cultivate your ability to choose between right and wrong. Listen to what Hebrews 5 and verse 14 says. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. John Piper said, if you want to eat the solid food of the word, you must exercise your spiritual senses so as to develop a mind that discerns between good and evil. This is a moral challenge, not just an intellectual one. Because there's a way you can read and you can study the Bible, and all it is head knowledge. And if you are watching the wrong kind of movie till 1 a.m. on a Sunday morning and then sleeping here at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, the word of God is really going to have no power in your life. There's got to be that choice between good and evil. And then we dig into the word of God, and it doesn't just become intellectual knowledge, just it changes us as we read God's word. And then the fourth thing I want to say this morning as I close, and then I am through. If you are not yet a Christian, you are never going to be able to understand the Bible because you don't have the VPN that unlocks it. But you can have it by turning from your sin and turning to Christ. God will forgive your sin, and he will plunge you into his Holy Spirit, and then he will come and live in you by his Spirit. And then you too will have the VPN, and you'll be able to understand the things of God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would allow the weight of your word to sit upon our hearts today. If we find ourselves still in the darkness, help us to know that there is something called light. Help us to turn to Christ, who is the light of the world. Give us the strength and the power and the grace to do that today. For those of us who are your children, we pray that we may become serious about your truth, about the mysteries of your word. I pray that you'd give us the capacity and the intentionality to pursue and to dig into it, not just that we might understand it, but that we might be transformed by it too. And we pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. All God's people say, Amen.